Front of the net, getting cross-set, guy slops it, defenseman off my ass, and barely made it in. Why wouldn't the guy get his 50th off his ass and in? I couldn't go self, could I? They don't say hell, they say how many. So take a seat, son.
Hey, everyone. This is Jamie Heward, former Team Black captain. And you're listening to the Monday Nooner Podcast. Suck it, silly!
I'm Frank Saravalli, hockey insider at dailyfaceoff.com, and you're listening to the Monday Nooner. The Wadena Wagons are loading up on sticks and gas this year, making a run for the provincial banner.
Hey, this is former Walla Walla Blue Devil great Drew Bledsoe coming to you on the Monday Nooner Podcast.
She never thought I'd be a star. Had no money and I had no car. Got lucky, got a break. Made some money, that's all it takes.
Well, hello and a big welcome to all the degenerates and pigeons tuned in. Welcome to twirl number 79 of the Monday Nooner Podcast. The pod, as always, brought to you by our two title sponsors out in Rosetown, Saskatchewan. That would be Mainline Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and also Mainline GM. They've got lots of great things happening at the King of Trucks, the original King of Trucks, worth a drive every time guaranteed out to Rosetown. We'll tell you about some of the things they've got going on here in October. A little bit later on in the show. First things first, introduce the guys. Barney Shinkrick, how are you doing this week?
Hey, really good to be back. Last week, I know we're going to get to last show recap in a bit, but fuck, you guys knocked it out of the park. Impressed. Like a proud dad, you know?
What was last week? I'm confused because we had our senior show yesterday. What was last week?
Chesney.
Chesney.
Oh, yeah.
Chesney.
Yeah. That interview is tougher than a $2 steak right there. My favorite Chez-ism, as I call them now. Belts, what's going on? You got any Chez-isms over there or what?
I got some locked and loaded. My favorite was that you can't do two things in the dark. That is play hockey and hide and go seek. Because if you go searching for the light when you're playing hide and go seek, they'll find you every effing time. It's my Chez-ism. So
I think you screwed that up a little.
Can't play two things scared.
Yeah, scared. That was.
You tried.
Anyway,
you tried.
Belts,
didn't have it written down. Anyway, I'm back, ready to rock.
Good to have you back and in fine form here this week, Terrell.
79.
Yeah, guys. Well, I think we'll get into the upcoming show, but just wanted to quickly, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but senior hockey, yesterday was the preview show. You guys been getting much for feedback from everybody, especially with the top 10? You guys hearing anything?
Oh, yeah. Right out of the gate. And that's how it's supposed to be. It's the beautiful thing about where we are through this pandemic almost, and senior hockey's back, and I love it. And I think a lot of guys really understand how hard it is. Like, you know, what are we going off? We're trying.
I can't believe we talked about this. I can't believe how many freaking teams there are in Saskatchewan. It is insane. I did not believe there were so many senior hockey teams. It's crazy.
11 leagues, right? 11 leagues, probably around that 60, 70 team mark. Haven't added them up. But Belts, are you going to get into your Mydale apology, or are you going to save that for a little bit later on in the show?
I might ride the Mydale for a while. They got to prove me wrong first. As soon as the shirts come in, I got some ready for them. We'll see if they can bury a few. I'm gonna stick with my
the reverse wagon.
The reverse wagon, and we'll see. We'll see what they can do if they can pop one in the first couple games.
Yeah, right on. And I've got an apology coming up to the Selby Marlins a little bit later on. So we'll get into all of that. And while we're talking what's coming up, we might as well get into the come up this week.
Yeah, come up this week, brought to you by
General Well Servicing, Shank.
General Well Servicing. And they're
the Foul Supper.
Huge sponsor of the senior top 10 show every week. And I love their frickin' logo. Like, I love it. The general dude, and I love the color scheme that they got going there. I'm all about it, buying all the stock. Hey, and if you know anyone that needs work. If you're not working, then and you are capable and you're basically just being a leech, then you're disgusting. But if you need a job, General Well Servicing is hiring. They're like buzzing out there. Oil Patch kind of is picking up. So there, we can hook you up if you just want to DM us or General Well Servicing. Look them up, and they'll get you a gig. Thanks to all those guys, yeah, for being big sponsors of everything we do here and everything senior hockey that we do. So coming up in the show, two interviews, senior hockey wise. We're going to talk about a lot of senior hockey later in the show. Are we gonna reveal for maybe people that don't follow us on social the player of the week? We'll kind of paint the picture of what this year's players of the week are going to be getting from us and our friends at Last Mountain Distillery. And Kelly McClintock's going to come on from Hockey Sask and talk about provincials. Boys, we kind of messed up because we didn't think the provincials were going to happen. And I don't know if I led you guys down that path, but I'm surprised.
I heard from some pretty incredible sources who I'm not going to name. Like, I heard from some people pretty credible that they didn't think they were happening. So I thought it was a 50-50. We'll talk to Kelly McClintock. He'll tell us that it was always a lock to happen.
But I thought you were going to go the other way and pull up Brandon / Doug Shell and be like, I knew that it was going to happen. Kelly comes in, talks about, they're really excited, obviously, right? And it's exciting for everybody when it comes to hockey. And then our interview this week, long time. We've had about 5 or 6 guys mention him when we've interviewed people, just how good he was when it came to the Regina Pats in the early 1980s, like one of the best ever. Dale Durkach, small, and just tore the shit out of the WHL in the early days.
He's in the rafters too. All-time leading scorer for the Regina Pats.
The first number the rafters, 16.
Rat. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Drafted by the Oilers back in the day. Some great stories from him. And I feel like we've had a lot of the Saskatoon Blades alumni. Nice to mix in a Pats guy. And probably the best Pat ever, right? So
absolutely. I love it. So there, there's the come up for our, and we're going to, the regular stuff we're going to do. We're going to put our foot in our mouth, and
we're going to keep it tight.
Absolutely.
You always say that every week.
We're coming live to your town. That was for General Well Servicing.
All right, boys, why don't we hop into last show recap? You know what? I'm going to give this one to Last Mountain Distilleries this week. Shink, Boz, they came out with a new whiskey here a couple weeks ago, and it is fabulous. Have you guys tried it?
Not yet. Because I'm sick.
Oh, yeah. You're going to cold. And Boz, you are a vodka guy. I'll tell you guys, mix that with a little bit of Pepsi or straight up. I had a little sipper on the rocks the other night. Delicious. Great stuff. Go and see the fellas and the girls at Last Mountain Distillery or pick some up, just down at the store. They're huge senior hockey supporters, and we love having them on board as well. What are we going to talk about? Chez. Well, Chezzer, what a weapon. And I'll tell you, Boz, you were telling me the amount of listens we got on that first episode from him was just astronomical.
You know, I think the hockey world's small. You hear it all the time, but many guys that either played for him or guys that know played for him and stories that were floating around. And I'm kind of kicking myself because I was like, we should have put something on social media first and gathered some stories from people. But we are going to get Chez back. He loved it. He wants to come back on. I was thinking maybe next time we get a listener contributed Chez's like top 10, like Letterman countdown of Chez's best lines.
Yeah.
Got some doozies as we saw on social media.
I really wanted to be there because I remember Joel Trapp and I remember Kent Bittner and just telling stories about him and how like awesome he was going to be. So like I so wanted to be there, but I was sick. I'll let everyone else connect the dots out there. And I couldn't get on the horse, but it was so the freaking Melville Rhythm Air story is an all timer. Like that was my first, that was my favorite story. Then the second one was the propane tank story at the rink where the kid took the propane tank.
The tires. If you're going to take a tire, please
bring the old one back. I love that story. I love the tire story.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who shared things on social media with us. And we will get him back on for sure. He's one of those guys we'd love to get live. We say it all the time. I know, but we'd love to get him live here sometime in the next bit.
That was the last show recap for our friends at Last Mountain Distillery. Like Belt said, new whiskey out there right now. Cherry whiskey season coming around the corner. And yeah, if you're heading to maybe a senior game in the Lumsden area or whatever, stop in, support them locally. You can go in and get everything right from the distillery. You can even take a tour on the weekend. So yep. Last Mountain Distillery.
I knew they were going to be a bit of a wag on.
Hey, I know we're going to talk senior hockey later in the show, but I wanted to give a shout out, because we are going to get into shout outs, to the Sask Valley Hockey League guys. Their season opens up tomorrow. So really look forward. I know Shink's going to probably have the live barn buzzing. Have you scouted it out to see which towns tomorrow have live barn for the season opener?
You know what, guys? I did. Let me just pull this up, because I was actually really, really surprised and disappointed that there isn't more. Like, I totally thought, so Balgoni has it. Well, that does a lot of good that does us now. The Battleford Arena, you know, I guess could not. Clavette doesn't help us. Cooperators doesn't help us. Emerald Park doesn't help us. Weyburn, nope. Dalmany. So Davidson, that we can watch the Meats and the Cyclones play, or somebody in that league. That's not a bad one. Warman, the Fairview Belts and Swift Current.
Oh, ready to rock, right? Yeah. On.
Yeah, but
old stomping grounds.
So here are the two that threw me for a loop. I think Cody Danberg actually has something to do with Live Barn and pushing it. So if you need Live Barn in your rink, maybe contact him. The Jubilee Stadium in Bigger, Saskatchewan has it.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, guess the other rink, Brando, that has it. You hate that.
Carrobber.
Yeah. The Carrobber Memorial has Live Barn. So yeah, I was pretty surprised. I was, and Tisdale's rink has it. Man, I was really hoping for a few in the Highway Qu'Appelle Valley League, and then yeah, obviously in the Sask Valley as well. But unfortunate.
Yeah. So good luck to the teams and leagues firing up here this weekend. Again, we'll probably talk a little more senior a little bit later on in the show. Let's get the shout outs this week.
Shout outs, Boz, Synergy AG. Got all the locations all dialed up in your lid there. Lejeune
is on the list. No, I don't know. Yeah.
Balcarres, Lumsden, Pence, Yorkton, Govan, Provost, and Grenfell. So soil, yeah, you guys, soil analytics. Yeah. Fire those weapons up over at Synergy AG. Is now the time you got to start booking all that stuff for the spring?
Yeah, I'd imagine most people are, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but a lot of people, you know, would be looking at next year. And I know, like, there's shortages just like everything else with fertilizer and stuff like that. So just depending on what you're after. But yeah, absolutely. Go to your local Synergy AG. Talk to your local rep. That's one great thing about them. The guy that you're dealing with probably, you know, lives in your community or has kids that play sports with yours or whatever. So yeah, check them out. Crop and Soil Analytics, Synergy AG.
Shout outs, boys. I'll take the lead. Obviously, I'm going to take the layup this week, but crazy week in hockey and stuff that's come out. But obviously, big shout out to Kyle Beach for, you know, everything he's went through and having to come forward with, you know, the sexual misconduct allegations against Chicago. Like, I'll tell you what a tough time this guy's went through. And big shout out to him. We're thinking about you, and, you know, you get through this, and shout out to him. Another shout out I got, Barney, before you hop in here, Trevor Sabo. I don't know how to say that. He's a scout for the Notre Dame Hounds. We got word that our kayak guy there, Mr. Stefan, had to send something into him for some tournament and said, let me know if you need anything else for an under 13 tournament. He says, if you're coming, how about you bring me a Nooner hat? So big shout out to him. The Nooner boys are buzzing even out in Notre Dame. So yeah, I thought we'd mention him on the program. Big listener. And yeah, go ahead, boys.
You know, my shout out this week, former co-host of the show, Sean Kindop. You guys were talking that you saw him at the Pats game. both of you,
yep,
walking yep around. And he, I think Brandon said he was sport coat jeans guy the one day, and he had his Pat alumni pass on. So, you know, just like a guy like that going back into that rink, played so many games in there, battled, you know, all those hard WHL battle in the playoff games, that toughness, and just, you know, probably to wear that alumni pass with proud. So just yeah, shout out to old Kinner there.
I thought he was wearing it because it was Halloween and he was pretending to be a former junior hockey player
that game. And I want to piggyback that. Just give a quick shout out to Mrs. K because she was with him. And yeah, that's all that needs to be said. Mrs. K, shout out to you.
And, you know, he comes by that sport coat jeans, honestly, because I was talking to his old boss, Stacy Cattell, at the couple Pats games ago. He comes up to me and he kind of starts freaking on me a little, starts punching me like him. And he's like, he was mad because we called him sport coat jean guy. He's like, I'm a quarter zip guy. And I was like, no, you're not, Stacy. You're sport coat jeans guy. He's like, I wore it once. Anyway, so shout out to that guy too.
I was actually buckled one night. I don't even know if I still have it. And I was chuckling to myself. Yeah, I put it on my Twitter, you know, like underneath your where it has your rundown. And it says full boycott on sport coat and jeans look. So I'm riding it. Yeah.
Hey, interview time, guys. Let's get into it this week. We kind of teed them up a little bit off the start of the show. But yeah, our interview each and every week brought to you by our friend Kent Bittner, mortgagefrommycouch.com. Bitsy's been in the real estate mortgage game for, what, 20 plus years. So he's seen it all. He's done it all. And he knows the answers to the questions you might have when it comes time to getting your first mortgage or renewing a mortgage. So check him out, Kent Bittner, mortgagefrommycouch.com.
All that. Yeah. So let's get her fired up here. Like Boz mentioned, for mortgagefrommycouch.com and Kent Bittner, it's the interview time. And yeah, we've had this guy mentioned quite a few times on our show and different guys have come on. He is the Regina Pats all-time leading scorer. And we're going to start going through stats here in a bit. And I think the beauty of this was Belter really didn't, he knew about him, but he didn't really like know the stats. And they are like mind-boggling when you think the era he played. He was born October 17th, 1964 in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Now lives in Regina, Saskatchewan. He's been around the game quite a bit. He's still involved. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Dale Durkach. Dale, thanks so much for jumping on the Monday Nooner.
Yeah, no, great. Glad to be here. Let's have some fun.
So let's, you know, we're going to go through the journey in your career and whatnot first, but let's tell people what you are currently doing because, you know, Shane's got young kids. I got young kids. We see you around the Cooperator Center a lot. Maybe just take people through kind of what you're doing and what you're doing with Peak.
Well, I'm a part owner in a skills facility here in Regina called Peak Performance. It's located in the Cooperator Center. A good location, obviously, lots of hockey happening. We work with all kinds of players from, you know, initiation really up to pro. We've had guys like Jaden Schwartz, Jordan Eberle in the facility to little young guys, 5 years old. So we have everything for all of a team room that teams come in and have meetings in and do video sessions. So we've got a lot of stuff there. 6,000 square foot facility.
We're good. Okay, so you mentioned that you have even into the pros coming. Do you ever get the hardcore senior or the rec guy say, "Hey, I want to come on the old treadmill"?
We do. We do.
Really?
You know, there have been some guys that have had, let's say, an injury, maybe a rec player in his 50s or something, and they want to rehab a little bit because the skating treadmill is an easy way to do it. And then instead of, you know, getting on a normal running treadmill, which puts a little wear and tear, they come on. So we've had the odd guy. It's not too often, but we've had the odd guy over 40 years old.
Yeah. Anybody ever come down from Wadena and bring you a case of Boston creams?
No, not yet. Can't wait.
All right. So let's go through the journey here. And if, you know, a lot of people that listen from this area are going to remember the name. And then a lot of people that listen in the States and wherever, you know, they're going to look you up. You're a smaller gentleman and you played small. So when you go back to your minor hockey, you're born in Winnipeg, you know, maybe that Adam Peewee in there, Dale, like, were you one of the smaller kids then as well?
Well, here, first, I'm going to correct one thing. I am born in Priestville, Saskatchewan.
Okay.
My hometown is Winnipeg, but I was born in the lovely little inlet of Priestville, Ukrainian town. So I was born there, and we moved to Winnipeg when I was one. And grew up in Winnipeg till I ended up going to Notre Dame, which we'll get to, when I was 15 years old. So, but yeah, growing up, I was always the smallest player on the team. It was nothing new to me. I never really, I guess looking back, thought of it. I guess for me, it was just, you played the game. And I guess I'd say it this way. I never knew I was small. I mean, of course, I knew I was. But when, you know, I was out on the ice, it didn't matter. You know, you did what you had to do to be successful. And, you know, I always played with, everyone was bigger and older players, and, you know, just even outside in the park, when you're young, you're on the outdoor rink, always played with older, bigger players. So it just seemed like really it wasn't anything at all. I was who I was.
We always ask this question, Dale, growing up, who are some of the like absolute weapons that guys would, you know, recognize that you played with or even played against?
Are you talking players that I played with or against?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, growing up, I was very lucky. I played in the St. Boniface, St. Patel area in Winnipeg. And we won the championship age 11, 12, 13, 14, all those years.
Wow.
And I had Mark McKay, who was an ex-Warrior. Moose Jaw Warrior was on the team as one of the centermen. And the best player at that time, or noted as the best, was a guy named Darren Boyko, who ended up playing for the Winnipeg Warriors before they moved to Moose Jaw, and ended up over in Europe playing hockey. The thing was, Darren was, 5'8 or 5'9 when he was 11, and he never grew after that. So, you know, guys caught up to him, and he stayed the same size. Although I didn't catch up to him. I never got to 5'8 or 9, but, you know, obviously most of the other guys did. And we had all three of us played on different lines, and we were centermen, and we had a great team. So there were other guys on that team, guys who played for the Blades, a Ron Drager and a Cam Douglas, and so we had a lot of guys move on.
When you're a kid and you're, you know, Adam, me, maybe even into Peewee, are you very offensive? Are you fast? Are you thinking the game at a level that other kids aren't? You know, what were you like at those, at that age?
Well, you know, it isn't like today where everyone can watch themselves play. You know, we didn't really have any, as we called it, video or much of our hockey, but you know, if I were to think about how I was, I think the game really well. I think that's what allowed me to play for a lot of years and survive. You know, anticipation, knowing where to go ahead of time, getting out of the danger spots in time. I think that was, you know, probably my biggest asset. Of course, I think I was quick, you know, and I had some offensive skills. I think you put all those together, plus I was tenacious. I was hungry for the puck. Some people look at it as a disadvantage being small. I think if you're going to be small, it's good to be really small. You know, if you've ever thought about this, think about a 6'2", 3'4", 5' guy trying to lift up my stick when I'm standing in a hockey position. You know how they'd have to bend down so far that it's just about impossible for them to do. Plus, I was strong. My stance, or my body type, I was very strong on my stick. Like, I could put it down, and guys 6 feet tall couldn't lift up my stick. So I know that's all sounds weird for a guy who played in the Western Hockey League. I was 5'6", 135 pounds my first year, and never got past 150 in my third year, and I never got any taller. It's weird to say that it might have been an advantage being 5'6" instead of being 5'8" or 5'9".
How do you end up in Notre Dame?
I was playing my year of Bantam in Winnipeg, and Notre Dame, it happens this way. It's a word of mouth. There was an alumni of the school saw me playing, and he came after the game and asked my dad if I'd have, you know, any interest in maybe looking at Notre Dame. We're like, Notre Dame, what's that? We didn't know anything about it. And my dad mentioned it. So happened that year the Notre Dame team was playing in the then Air Canada Cup, which is now the TELUS Cup, and it was in Winnipeg. So I went to watch them play. Thought it would be great. We took a visit in June of that year. And, you know, I thought, wow, this would be great to live with a whole bunch of guys and play hockey. And I think my parents looked at it too. There's a lot of politics in hockey. We know that. And they thought it might be a good idea for me just to get out on my own, do my own thing, and get to where I'm going to go on my own. And that's it. That's the story. I ended up then on probably the best midget team the next year ever assembled at Notre Dame. I was back then midget was age 15 and 16 only, and I was a 15-year-old. And if I told you the names that were on that team, that's got to be maybe the best midget team, in a long while, that's for sure.
Well, let's hear them. Who was on that squad?
Well, on defense, and back then you got to remember being over 6 feet was a big deal. Let's take that back. That's 40 years ago. We had Gord Kluzak, James Patrick, and Brian Kern, all first-round NHL draft picks, along with three other guys who were good midget hockey players at the time. And then up front, the notable guys that if I threw their names NHL-wise, Gary Lehman, Lyndon Byers, Todd Strube, Gord Flegel, a Regina guy, Gord Shervin, Peter Dirksen. Like, we had a loaded. I was the third-line center to start the year on that team.
So you guys roll there. You're on such a good team. Obviously, a lot of eyeballs are watching you. Are you already at this point listed by the Pats, Dale, and are you on the Pats radar?
Well, that's another story. Here we go. That Bantam year, our team won the Manitoba Championship and ended up playing in the Kelly Douglas Cup, which is the Western Canadian Championship at the time, in Saskatoon. Who had me on their list? We play that tournament. We lose to North Shore Winter Club in the final. And that team was Kenny Yaremchuk, Gary Nyland, and a few other guys that you'd know. I end up being the tournament MVP on a losing team. And about a week after, I find out Saskatoon Blades dropped me off their list.
Ooh.
Too small.
Oof.
Yeah. It gets better.
So then the Pats pick you up immediately or?
No. I end up getting listed by the Portland Winterhawks. And I'm at Notre Dame now playing into my 16-year-old year. Very few guys played back in the day at 16 years old. You finished midget. Then you might have moved to the WHL or maybe, junior A. But they had me listed. I'm playing at Notre Dame now in my second year on a very good team. We ended up going to the Air Canada Cup. That first year, we won it. The next year, we end up going again, but we don't win it. But I'm lucky enough to win the MVP of the tournament. I think we finished fourth. It was out in Halifax. And I'm with Portland, but they don't talk to me. I don't hear from them at all, except one time they're in town. And they're staying at the Hotel Saskatchewan at the time on Victoria. And I go there to meet their general manager, coach at the time, Ken Hodge, and their head scout, Wayne Meyer, who was with Saskatoon, a head scout. Then he moved to Portland, so then he picked me up again. And when I went to visit them there, I walked into the hotel, and I had Lyndon Byers with me. I think you guys may know, 6'2", close to 200 pounds at age 16. And I hear from this from Wayne in the future. Ken Hodge says to Wayne, he better be the big guy. And obviously it wasn't. I met them. No more talks. And through that 16-year-old year, I'm coming in to watch Regina Pats all the time play. No one's talking to me. Prince Albert shows interest in me. And they're in Junior A. They're one of the best teams in Junior A. They're winning the championship all the time. And I'm receiving letters from colleges, North Dakota, Rensselaer Polytechnical, Boston College, Boston. Yeah, I got like pick of the litter. I got like 20 different schools wanting me. So no Western League teams were talking to me. My mind was made up. I was going to college. I was going to play for the Prince Albert Raiders for 1 year, follow James Patrick, who went up there. And then I was going to go to North Dakota. It was all set up. And then there's a story to all of that, the Regina Pats trade for me a guy named Terry Jones. And I'm with, now with the Pats, and this is like in the spring of that 16-year-old year. So in June, I don't hear from the Pats at all, nothing. And I've made up my mind. I'm at home in Winnipeg in the summer. I'm skating at the University of Manitoba with a whole bunch of guys, blah, blah. I got my vehicle generally packed to go to Prince Albert in August. Get a phone call from the Regina Pats.
Who was the GM at that time?
Bob Strum.
Oh,
the
yeah.
best general manager outside of John Paddock of the Regina Pats ever.
Wow. Is that crazy? So what you, it's almost like you have to battle so hard to get recognized, to even get listed, to go to the WHL. And then you got to remember, people that are listening, the WHL in the 80s is like gross, and Lyndon yeah. Byers. And then you got to go into Saskatoon and Moose Jaw, Prince Albert. Why not just go to college? Like, that is such a good game. It's your game. It's perfect. Like, man, that seems like it was just like, see ya in 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another bit to the story. Bob Strum phones and says, I'd like to come. I'm going to fly in. I'd like to fly in to meet with you and your family. He's talking to my dad. And I say, no. I said, you know, Dad, we've decided I'm going to college. It's all set. I gave my word to Prince Albert. I'm going, blah, blah, blah. My dad said, just let him come in. Just let him come and talk to us. So Bob Strum flies in. This is late August. He's staying at the Viscount Gort, across from Polo Park, where the arena used to be in Winnipeg. We say we'll pick him up and we'll go to Ray and Jerry's Steakhouse across the street, down the street before the thing. So we pull up, and Bob says to my parents, do you mind if Dale comes up to the room? I've got something for him. First, lock up. He's got a sweater lying on the bed. Bearcat, 16. That's it. So, blah, blah. So we go to eat, and through this meeting, you know, things are being talked about. And every time my parents asked Bob Strum something like, well, how is he going to get around in Regina? He doesn't have a vehicle. Bob Strum finds a way to make that work. And so on and so forth with everything we talk about. Then my dad was adamant about the college because he wanted me to get a university education. Bob says, we will give him a 5-year contract scholarship that if he doesn't sign a pro contract, he'll have his university. So it's kind of, that was a separate thing. And I think that led now officially to the scholarships that the guys get in the Western League. So I still have that today, that contract. So that was set. So we drop off Bob, a good meeting, and we're driving, and my dad says, what do you think? And I go, well, I'm going to college. And then my dad says, well, you got the scholarship. I'm fine with that. If you'd like to choose, you can do what you want. I'm like, well, he's the first guy who ever said that I could play in the Western. Up till now, everyone always said I can't play, whether it was Pee Wee to Bantam, Bantam to Midget, Midget to SJHL, SJHL, Western League. I was always, I can't play. He was the first guy who said, I can play, because my dad asked him, what if he doesn't make the team? He said, what do you mean make the team? I'm here. He's going to be on the team. So then my dad said, you choose. And that's, the rest is history.
Okay, this totally, it rings a bell now, because somebody else we had in the program told that story. They told the walking in with Lyndon Byers, they told that story, and then they told the Bob Strum in the 5-year schooling. Now, first off, what was the deal on the wheels? Did they end up getting you a vehicle? Didn't he work a deal there?
Well, I'll give you a little story. I don't know how much of this, the Western Hockey League commissioner and Everybody's going to like, but too bad.
Mr. Robinson won't care.
Hey, Willie Mitchell told the story on how he played under an alias.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit like this. You can do it any way you want. I mean, these days, none of this stuff happens, I know. But, you know, Bob asked my mom, said, so Shirley, about how much a month would you need if you were to scout for us? Like, what would it take for you to be able to scout? And my mom gave a number, and that seemed to be the tour. So my mom first went, what are you talking about? You get the drift. So
that's amazing. Oh, hey, yeah. So when you go to Regina, are you thrust in right away? You're gonna play a ton, or was it, you know, who is this little guy? Let's feel him out, because obviously you played a lot. You played 71 games. You're 142 points. Did it take a little bit of time to get thrust into there where they went, holy shit, this guy can play?
Well, I can take you through the whole gamut here. If you want to hear it. Well, so I get to Regina, and it's before training camp. Training camp didn't start until the beginning of September. We had to get here to get in school and all that stuff. So I came at the end of August, and I'm skating at the Agridome, by the way, with, you know, all the guys, Jock Callender, Drew Callender, pro guys, Garth Butcher, Al Tuer, you know, Tony Vogel, Taylor Hall, the first Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. I'm skating with Brent Pascal. I'm skating with all these guys. And Bob Strum comes walking in up on the concourse. Back in the day, there weren't stands at the one end. And Bob Strum and Bill LaForge, who was going to be the coach at the time, come walking in. And they tell him, Bob tells me this story after. He says to Bill, that's your guy right there. And Bill's going like, which guy? And Bob says, that guy, the small guy. Bill's going, no way. Bill's going, you got to come on, Bob. And Bill tells the story back in the day, God bless him, he's passed away, that he thought I was just like someone's younger little brother. So, and Bill came to the Pats, many people might not know, from the Ontario Hockey League. He was coaching the Oshawa Generals at the time, and he got in a fight with Dave Dryden on the ice. And he got a 50-game suspension. So that's why he came to the Regina Pats. The leagues weren't all tied up. I didn't back then, and suspensions weren't carried over. So you know what kind of guy Bill was, obviously, since I just told you that story. So anyway, we go through training camp, and here's this. You know, again, I said it. I was probably 130 pounds. I'm in shape. I'm wheeling. I'm doing everything. Guys are just getting in shape at that time. And I'm doing a very good job in training camp points wise. I think I'm doing okay. Things are looking good. And obviously still Bill's not sold, you know, what's going to happen when we start playing. So anyway, back in my time, there were only 13 Western League teams, half of what there are today. So you can imagine on the team, there were upwards of 10 to 12 guys already drafted by NHL teams or going to NHL camps. They all leave to go when we're now going to start exhibition. So they're all gone. So needless to say, there I am in the first exhibition game starting at center in the Agridome against Brandon. We're having warm-up. I'm skating around. I'm in warm-up. Nervous. Who wouldn't be? We would have Bill LaForge is waving me over to the bench. I'm going, what the hell? I go over and he says to me, if anything happens tonight, don't drop your stick. I'm like, okay, coach, okay. And that was, we always called him coach. He was coach. I go back in line. I tap one of the guys and I say, what the hell is coach talking about? He says, if anything happens, don't drop your stick. The guy goes, you'll see. So we're skating around. We have warm up. Game starts. I'm nervous as hell, of course. For some reason, puck goes back into our end. And I'm the first guy back, and I get cross-checked kind of from behind that distance from the boards. It's a little bit dirty. And I go flying to the boards. I come off the boards, and I throw off my gloves. Oh, I get in a fight, if you want to call it a fight. I get in a fight, okay? Some sort of scuffle. So the period ends, sitting in the stalls. Bill, as usual, comes flying in. He always comes flying in, and the door comes off the hinges, and he comes right in, and he's smoking. He comes over to me. puts his finger in my face and I am scared because he told me, don't drop your step. Right. That was the thing. He just said, I love this guy. I love this guy. And then he went around the room to every guy and was said, if anyone touches him and you're on the ice and you don't jump in, you'll be gone. And he took off out of the room. From that day on, I could do whatever I wanted.
Who was that first game against?
Brandon.
Right on.
Yeah.
So
I could do no wrong.
Like Shane said, your first year in the Western Hockey League, playing at what height would you have been that year?
5'5", 130 pounds.
5'5", 130 pounds. What is that? 62 goals, 80 assists, and 142 points. Like, that is mind-boggling. When you go back to that first year, and you talked about the first game, is there a game that stands out? Because that was a rough league then. Like, there was line brawls, and there was brawls in the warm-up. And like I said, some of those rinks you had to go play in. Is there a game in your first year where you thought, oh, my Lord, what is going on here?
Never, never. You know what? It started off slow. You know, I played on the third line to start. I was played with Byers and Lehman a little bit. We came from Notre Dame. And there were times where, you know, we didn't play a lot. I wasn't on the power play a lot. This is in the first 20 games or so. It was kind of a learning little bit experience. But I remember when I think I felt like things were going to turn for me. You know, I was doing okay points-wise. It was coming, but it was slow. But we were in Victoria Cougars at the time. And we were on our trip. It's always in November when Agribition hits, which is right around now when Agribition. So Pats leave and you go out and you do six games out on the coast, but you also take in maybe one or two going and coming back. So you got like an 8-2 week. We're in Victoria and we get into overtime and I'm sitting with Lehman and Byers and we're on the pit. And we're all sitting there going, oh, this is great. It was a 5-5 game, I remember. And Lehman goes, I'm going to get the goal. And I go, no, you're not. I am. And I end up scoring. And I don't know, maybe that just turned it right there. It made me feel like, hey, I can play.
Mojo.
So you know, it started. And it really started from there. And then Christmas hit. And I think I maybe had somewhere in around 20 goals or 18. I didn't have a lot, I mean, by standards of then. But Jim Magoo, who was with the Pats, they traded to Billings, was home for Christmas. And he ended up himself scoring somewhere near 90 goals one year. He said to someone at a house event we were at that this guy is going to score a ton. He told someone. That person told me that later, but he said he's just started. He's going to be smoking. And then it just went from there. And it actually kind of really took hold when Garth Butcher made the World Junior team and he left. And I was the sixth guy for the power play always. The five guys would go out, and then I was like number six if someone was in the penalty box or a fight or an injury. He took me. Garth was the quarterback on the power play, and I thought he'd take me and put me in one of the spots of the cone. He put me right away, and I played the point. So I played the point on the power play. Jeez. I took Garth's spot, and just went from there.
5'5", 130, man in the point. Wow, that is – hey, you know one guy I wanted to ask about, and I've had guys bring this guy up to me, how good he was, and then he went on and played pro, and he's from Waukesha, Saskatchewan. Yeah. What do you remember about Dave Mikhailuk? That guy is like so skilled.
Yes, unreal. Unreal hands. Dave was a beauty. He could protect the puck, unbelievable, along the boards. He was dynamite anywhere in tight spaces. He really, back in the day, you didn't talk about the eagle turns and all that, but he had that where, you know, you kind of call it your feet were pointed out like a duck, but he did it, and he'd protect the puck so well, and he could make plays off the wall or around the net. And I'll tell you what, he set me up more than once on the power play, just coming to the back door at the right time. He'd come out on the other side and throw it right across, and I'd just tap in goals. So I'll tell you, he was a great player.
Okay, so you go into year two after 142 points, 62 goals. You go into year two and you don't slow down. Was it, did you like obviously set lofty goals for yourself going into that second year? And that is the year that obviously I think you play World Juniors, right?
Yes, that was my first year playing World Juniors. Well, that second year, I'm a late birthday. You mentioned it, October. So all the guys that I played with, like Lehman, Byers, Marquardt, Hull, all got drafted after that 17-year-old year, right? First rounders, second rounders, they're all, and, you know, by all accounts, I'm not doing too bad on the score sheet. It should look good the next year. Well, you know, I'm just ready to go for the next year, and it's my draft year. And I start out the season, and in the first 15 games, I scored a goal in every game. And I actually scored 30 goals in 15 games. And Central Scouting came out with their first list in November. It's around the mid-November list. And I was ranked number 12 overall at that time. And funny, picking 12 that coming year was the Winnipeg Jets. So it was like a nice story, huh?
What, yeah, go ahead, Belts.
Well, I got to ask, like, so you're ranked 12th. You put up 84 goals and 179 points.
Jesus.
And let's talk about that draft. You don't go till round 7, 140 to the Oilers. That must have been a surprise. Like, obviously, it must have been a little bit disappointing to you.
Well, of course it was. I mean, like anything, you look at the numbers of other people and you're gauging. I'm playing with all these guys that, you know, are scoring 30 goals a year, 40 goals a year. And I've doubled that, you know, just intangibles and everything. And it's kind of disheartening. But it's funny. The problem was I only got one goal a game for the rest of the year. If you add it up, I didn't get two. Sorry. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, I couldn't keep that pace up. And you got to remember, I left some of the games. I went to the World Junior.
Right.
So there was a lot of things that happened that year. And so it just is a little disheartening, but obviously size is a factor, and that's what they looked at. And you know, we're going to get to the rest of the story, but that's just the way it goes.
So when you get drafted, do you go to Oilers camp?
The next year, I got drafted obviously in that June, but then the next year it was the start of where they were going to have the Olympics in Calgary, and they were keeping the Olympic team together, living together. So I was first. In the middle of August, I end up having to go to the Olympic camp in Calgary, and I was with the Olympic team, and then Oilers were going to have their camp, obviously, near the end of August, and the Olympic team was going over to Sweden for a six-game tour. Oilers said, you know, I wasn't going to make their team, so stay with the Olympic team, and then, you know, hopefully there you'll play in the Olympics, so on and so forth. And move on. So I didn't go to that first camp because I was with the Olympic team.
So let's talk about the World Juniors and the Olympic. We can kind of combine World Juniors and the Olympic team. What kind of memories do you have for playing for Canada, I guess, on both those fronts?
Yeah. You know, let's take the World Juniors first. I played as an 18-year-old. That was in Russia at the time. It was Leningrad, which is now St. Petersburg. You know, great experience, obviously playing with the best players in the world in those age groups, 18, 19. They didn't have a full camp back in the day. They just, we met in Toronto and they brought in two extra forwards and one extra defenseman. And we played a couple exhibition games against OHL teams. And then they cut a couple guys. And I can't, and if I tell you who they cut on forward that first year, you guys will be like, yeah, really? Yeah. Doug Gilmore got cut, which obviously look at this guy. Look what he did.
Was not a bad career.
Yeah, not too bad. So, you know, you're very fortunate to have been, you know, selected and play and be thought of in that group of people. And we didn't do too well. That was the second ever World Junior where Canada sent a team. The first one was that North Dakota one they won where the guys sang in North Dakota because they had no anthem. Yeah. That was Hapshide. Now the second one. Yeah, that was the second one ever. So we were totally unprepared for, you know, we didn't have cuts, food, nothing. We go over there. It's awful conditions. discipline on the ice was a factor. We were so undisciplined, right? We, you know, the old European guys are diving and you know, all that stuff and the refs. And we were so unprepared. We just, it didn't go well. We ended up with bronze medal, which is nice. But, you know, it wasn't a stellar performance based on, I don't think, Canada overall. We were prepared for the whole event.
Who, okay. Do you remember who led the team in scoring?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but Mario was on the team.
Yeah.
I think I only need to use the first name. Do I only need to use the first name? Well, I'm going to tell you, do you want to hear one story about that?
Yes.
Team? Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's Mario and Sylvain Turgeon, who I don't know if people will remember Sylvain. He's a very good player as well. Played in Hartford, I think, so on. These guys were dynamite offensive players from the Quebec League, and we were playing some team in the round robin, and those guys are like standing up at center ice like they wouldn't back check. And Dave King's the coach at the time, benches Mario during one of the games. And then I am playing, like Mario's benched and I'm playing. Like, can you guys believe that? Like, it's just unbelievable if you look back on how things go. But Mario, a gem of a guy, I actually rode in a train car, him and I together from Finland to Russia. Because we trained in Finland before the tournament. Couldn't speak English, not a lick, but just a gem of a guy and a great guy. And I can't believe I even played with a guy like him. It's just unbelievable.
Anderchuk. Cool. Dave Anderchuk. He led the team in scoring with 11 points. Then Mario. Yep. And then Dale Dercatch, third. And then you guys also had a young Steve Yzerman on that team.
Yep. Steve Yzerman. Wow. I actually spoke to him 2 years ago for the first time since that time, and I thought he wouldn't even know who I was. I bumped into him in the Montreal airport, and I thought I'd go over and say hello, and wow, he was like, how you doing, where you been, so on. Like, it was just like old times. Unbelievable. Nice man.
Very cool.
Where was the second World Junior?
It was in Sweden, and again it didn't go well for us. We ended up fourth, I think, in that one. We didn't medal, and I think Canada started to take off after that, learned a lot of lessons, and they started putting more time and effort into picking the team as well as getting the teams prepared to play over in Europe, especially with, you know, at that time, a different set of rules kind of from the refs and conditions of, you know, food and your hotel and all that. I think things started to take off.
Some good names on that one, though, Dale, like Russ Courtnell, yep. Gary Lehman was there, Dave Gagne, and then down, you know, a young Gerald Diddick, Bruce Cassidy.
Bruce Cassidy.
And then on,
Brad Shaw.
Yeah, on the in between the pipes, a couple of gems, Alan Bester and Ken Reggett.
Yeah.
That is so cool. So I guess, you know, you talked about not going to Oilers camp and staying with the, so like what happens the next year? Like how did that all shake down?
Well, what happened, I was with the Olympic team and the idea was that I was going to stay there with them. We were playing that tournament or games over in Sweden, six games. Then we came back and started to play NHL teams. Uh-huh. We played all the Canadian teams in the West. We played Winnipeg, we played Calgary, we played Edmonton, we played Vancouver. And in all of those games, every game I scored a goal. And so I was doing okay. But what happened was, you got to remember, I'm 19 years old. I'm going to be a 19-year-old in the Western League. There starts to be a little bit of talk between the Western Hockey League and Hockey Canada. Like, you're keeping a player that can help a Western League team and or help to the league, you know, people in the stands and so on. And he's with the Olympic team, and the Olympics aren't for 2 years, right? They weren't until 84. So
86.
86, sorry. They sent me back. They sent me back and said, we'll bring you back. So I was then now in limbo, and what happened was, I think Dave King, who now was the coach of that Olympic team, didn't want guys going back and forth. So what happened was, I just ended up staying with the Pats. Although they did call me back for a three-game stint. I played against three International Hockey League teams. One game was in Medicine Hat, and two were down, I think, in the States, in Salt Lake City. And I ended up doing pretty well in those games against those teams. And we were at the airport in Salt Lake, and I thought, I'm sticking. This is great. And so did some of the other guys on that team, James Patrick, who was a good friend of mine. And in the airport, they tell me that they're sending me back. And it was a shock because I had good games. Like, I'm talking star of the game or in the three starts of the game in those three games. And it was a shock. It was another one of those things. You just, it was what it was. But I came back and made the most of my 19-year-old year with the Pats.
So you talk about those exhibition games. I just got to go back. So did you play against Gretzky then when you guys played Edmonton?
First line center against him. First faceoff. I don't have to tell you he won the draw. I don't think I moved. Yeah, it was a big story. They made a big story of it in Edmonton, you know, and so on. But we got our butts handed to us against them. But I did score against Fear. So I'll take that.
So very cool. So then, you know, like Edmonton drafts you. And then is that the end of the line? Like, they don't bring you back to camp the next year? And then, like, I don't understand.
Here's what there's a little bit of more stories to all this stuff. Actually, in my 19-year-old year, Andy Murray, I don't know if people know Andy. He's from Manitoba, Brandon area. He's coaching over in Europe, in Switzerland. And he offers me a 2-year contract over there. But I still have that 19-year-old year. So that causes some trouble again. You know, the CHL doesn't want players leaving. So I don't take that. But then I have an agent outside of my NHL agent. I'll tell you who that is after. Who is now looking, because they heard about me in potentially Europe. Now I got that kind of happening. So I play my 19-year-old year. We do quite well. Go to the league final and lose in game 7. That I don't like talking about. But we the year ends, and now Edmonton has to sign me. It's they have to sign me before the draft in June. They send me a contract, 3-way. So in the NHL, in the American League, and in the International Hockey League, which is now the East Coast League. And you make different monies for each of those leagues. And obviously, I was a 7th-round draft pick. You don't have a lot of clout. So even the NHL money at the time, this is way before any strikes happen or anything. It's not a lot of money. It's good money, but it's not a lot. And I'm looking at it going, okay, where am I going to fit into the Edmonton lineup? Let's be honest here. You usually got your first line center. Number 99 is not bad. Then you got your second line center. Messier's not too bad. And then you usually have a checking center. And then where am I? Where am I fitting into this whole equation? So long story short, we ask for a better contract. They say no. I go to Europe to play.
And that's funny you say that, because we actually had Mark Habscheid on, who went through the exact same thing that you just did. Like, Gretzky's not bad. I mean, like, where do I fit in? Mess on this side, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Habby had the same thing. So, you mentioned it, so I'm going to go to it. Kamloops.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Obviously, it was a big disappointment from what we heard, and go through it for everybody.
Well, you're killing some of the Regina fans that are over 40 years old, 50 years old, that listen to the games on the radio. Kevin Gallant, the great announcer. Yeah, we made it to the final against Kamloops. We started off there, don't do well. They beat us both games. And back then, because of the travel, went 2-3-2. We come home, win 3 games. We just need a 1 win. We're back there in game 6. We are up 3-2. Dean Evason, friend of mine now coaching in the NHL at Minnesota, gets a breakaway. My buddy and great pal Jamie Reed stops him. 21 seconds left, face up in our zone. They pull their goalie, and they end up tying the game, you know, with a few seconds left. And we go into overtime, and Ryan Stewart, a Winnipeg draft pick, scores in overtime and takes that game from us, that we were there. We were going to the Memorial Cup, and it was deflating. I got to be honest. And we played the next game, game 7. We lost 4-2. It was a close game, but I think we really it really killed us losing that game 6.
Who took that face off?
I was not on the ice. Bobby Lowe's head scout of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, Regina, the resident, took the face-off on that one. I don't know what happened exactly on the face-off. It wasn't one clean back. I think it went to the corner first, and then it ended up in the spot.
Have you ever played, and you played with them in junior, and then you played with them in Europe again, have you ever played with the guy that likes to be a social director and party as much as Kurt Wickenheiser?
Yeah, Kurt is one interesting individual. I was lucky enough to play with him, and I'm saying that over in Europe for a couple of years, my last couple of years. And I want to tell you, like, a lot of times guys start to lose their legs or not be a good player. Kurt was actually, for me, got better as he was getting older. Very good player, highly underrated. This guy was a skilled player and was competitive and a heck of a player. I'm going to tell you, he was awesome.
So you play a lot of years in Europe. We're not going to get into every one of them, but, you know, all of your Europe experience, what's the best place you played? Where did you enjoy your time the most?
You know, I've been asked that so many times, and I really honestly can't say any place was better than another. They all had their charms or beauty. You know, I played bulk of my time in Germany, and you know, living in Germany, I liked it because it's very structured, organized. You have the Autobahn. Nice vehicles. I mean, you know, just money was good then. Then I played in Finland where the hockey was high-end level, and I was the only import for a couple of years, and the people took care of me so well, and they could all speak English, so you didn't have to learn another language. And then I started out in Italy, and there the people were warm, the food was great. And, you know, I don't really have any one area or any one thing. They all brought their charms and beauty, and I was very fortunate to be able to play over there for 14 years.
So there's, you have no shortage of scouting and coaching and all that as well. You know, like, you scout with the Washington Capitals, Notre Dame Hounds, coach there. I remember your brief stint coaching the Regina Pats. Just didn't go great. When you look back at that day, was there a few things that you would have done differently? Was the timing just bad for you in that, or how did that go?
You know what? It actually started out really well. Actually, we had gone on that coast trip in November that it kind of tells you where your team started at. And we were second in the conference at that time. And then there was one thing that did happen. We're not going to get into it all. I'm going to leave it that, you know, I think you're when you're coaching any level, but especially when we're talking junior and down, you're teaching young people life skills. It's not about the hockey for me. It is, yes. I know it's a business. I know you have to win at the junior level, but you're teaching people life skills. Young men, you're trying to help them to grow. And there was something that happened where it went against my principles, and right then I probably should have stepped down. But I had at that time moved. I had a young family, and you think things will probably work its way out. But I knew in my gut that wasn't the right thing when it happened. It was out of my control, but I should have probably backed off and said, I resigned. I didn't, and then the year did not go well. And I think that's a little bit because the players, I think they respected me still, but there's, when you can't have double standards now, you know, you've got rules and you got to enforce them on everyone. And I agree with that. It doesn't matter if you're the best player on the team or you're number 23 or whatever number. When you have rules, they're enforced, and they enforced on everybody, in my opinion.
Sorry, Belts. All your scouting, and, you know, you just got off with the Toronto Maple Leafs for, you know, what is it, 6 years, 5 years. How the game has shifted now to small and speed, and there isn't a lot of big body contact and hits. Is that how you scout? Like, are you like right in your wheelhouse scouting these kids nowadays?
Let me ask you, do you think I like a guy 5'8", 150 pounds with skill, or do you think I like a guy 6'2", 190 pounds with skill? Who do you think I'd like better? Of course, Of course. I like good players. The size is generally irrelevant. Yes, there is a certain strength you need. There's a certain competitiveness you need. But I like good hockey players. And they come in all different sizes. And the way the game has gone, a lot of smaller players are now getting the opportunity. But in the end, if you're going to pick between two guys, I know how hard it is to play when you're small. It's tough. You got a little injury, it's tough. Bigger guy can maybe weather through that. But I'm not picking a bigger guy just because he's big. He's not better. I'm going to take the better player. And what I find, and what, you know, I'm not the only one. There's a lot of great scouts out there, hockey people, is that you may have a smaller player. You know, kids usually grow at some point. I was one that didn't. Most kids, my boys are all going to be taller than me. My oldest guy, 17, he's already 3 inches taller than me. So they're all going to be a little taller. That if you learn when you're young to play when you're smaller, there's certain things you learn as a small. And now if you grow, I think you got a huge advantage because you've learned to play as a small player using your brain more, using your anticipation, smarts, how to go, where to go. And I think sometimes that's why some of the bigger guys, when they're young, might not flourish later. Yeah. Not all, they're just the odd, because they didn't learn maybe some of those things, whether it's passing the puck and then getting open, give and go, whatever. They learn, they just carry the puck, right? Which isn't how the game is played.
How, one thing, and I talked to a scout a little while ago, what's one thing, especially when you're scouting at the pro level, that you guys look at that people might not know? Like the one guy was talking about body language on the bench with this one guy and how it was off. Yeah. Like what's one thing that people don't know that scouts watch or look at?
Well, I'm not going to say people don't know. I'm learning all the time. And I learn from young kids that I coach to older people. You're always learning. So you got to be open. But I think one of the things I feel, and this is maybe for coaches picking teams, you know, at a lower level, whether it's Pee Wee, Adam, Bantam, whatever, they're always watching the player with the puck. You got to watch the players when they don't have the puck, what they do, what they bring. Many players only play when they get the puck. That's wrong. It's not wrong. I mean, it's just, it doesn't make you an all-around player. You need players who play without the puck, meaning you have players who forecheck. They back check. They get open for a pass. They find lanes when they don't have the puck to get the puck. They do little things to help their teammates. Many players do not do that. They only do something when they get the puck. And then I say, how often do you have the puck in a hockey game? How much time does a Sidney Crosby, one of the best players in the world, how much time do you think in a game he has the puck on his stick? I ask. And would you guys know?
Oh, it's how many seconds.
Well, he might have a little more because he's on the power play where you get to hold it or so on.
Yeah.
So I'd say if a player has it 2 minutes out of a game on their stick, that's high.
Wow, player, that's a lot.
So you have to think about that. Most of the time, you're playing without the puck. So I watch players more without the puck to see what they're doing, to see if they can read the play, get to positions, support their teammates, support the puck, and so on.
In the last, let's say in the last 5, 6 to maybe 10 years, a guy that you've watched, scouted in the WHL that's maybe gone on, maybe he hasn't, a guy that had all those intangibles you're just talking about, that when you watched him, you saw that stuff right away.
Well, there's lots of players that have all these skills. And as a scout, you know, it's easy to pick out the top guys usually. That's not a rocket science. Everyone say, oh, I was with the Leafs when we got Austin Matthews. Yeah, a big deal. I mean, everyone's going to pick Austin Matthews. But guys in later rounds that tend to move on and be good players, that you saw something in them, is what I feel is a scouting job. So I'm going to go back to my Prince Albert time where I was the director of player personnel with them. And they ended up having a run and, you know, winning the league championship. I was gone then to the Leafs, but, you know, about half to 60% of the players on that team were guys that I had been part of drafting along with my scouting up. And I'm pretty proud of some of the guys. There's one guy that comes to mind named Parker Kelly, who had a great junior career, was a great leader. He now is with Ottawa. They signed him and he's played NHL games. He was 5'4", 130 pounds in Bantam. We took him, I think, in the eighth or ninth round, and we didn't know he was going to grow or not or whatever. He was feisty. He didn't have a ton of skill, but he had enough. But he played hard, and he was a big part of that championship team in Prince Albert, and now he's in the NHL. That's the type of stuff that I feel proud of, that our staff did a great job getting a player like that in the late rounds.
How big is he now?
He's about 5'11".
What's my last question, Belts, if you want to go, when you go back to your time playing, whether in North America or over in Europe, a guy that you played with, because a lot of guys mention you when we ask this question, that maybe didn't get the fairest of shakes to get, you know, to make it in the NHL, a guy that you played with or against that you feel is in that same boat as you?
Well, there are two players that I could mention. There was a Brandon player. He's a year older than me. His name's Kelly Gloa. He was a small player who never got an opportunity as well. He was a heck of a player. Played on a lot of Brandon teams at that time that weren't very good, and he still competed and did really well and put up numbers, and he never got maybe a fair shake. But another guy that I played with on multiple occasions, I played with him at Notre Dame, and then I played with him on the Pats when they traded for him for a touch. His name is Dwayne Hutton. He was drafted by the Washington Capitals. He is the most talented player I played with ever. Like, he had everything from the speed to size to skill. And at the time, though, in those years from age, let's say, 14 to 20, when I was with him, he was immature. And he was immature as in he didn't really know what he wanted or where to go or how to go about it. And I've, you know, since bumped into him over the years. He was actually on my Prince Albert scouting staff back about 10 years ago. He knew that. He admitted it then. Like, it's later when you're, you know, you've grown up and you've gotten to the point. He looked back and he wasted, and we all say that he didn't waste, but he was a talented player who I think could have been really good at the NHL level.
God, this is so good. I feel like we could go on for like another hour, Belts.
Yeah. Well, one thing I really like, Dale, is that you're in the rafters up there with Silly, because he likes to tell us that he's in the rafters. So
yeah. Well, it's an honor and of course, and a very lucky that the Pats recognize someone for playing for their team. It's a great organization, and it's got the, you know, tradition on this franchise in the CHL, and always treated me with perfectly and class, and I'm just you know, it's hard to even believe, you know, you play the game when you're young. You don't think about where you're gonna end up or what your sweaters are gonna get retired or anything. You just do it, but it's a huge honor for sure.
Thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully we can cross paths again and get you back on, man. This has been awesome.
It was great, a lot of fun, guys. Hopefully bump into you here. If you see me somewhere around the rink, just stop me and say hello.
Well, Shane might come for a spin on the old treadmill now that he knows 44-year-old former WHL overweight guys can do it.
See, yeah, if you can get the hip, sure, hip back in shape, Dale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll crank it up.
Love
we'll
it.
We'll crank it up for you.
Right on. Thanks, Dale.
Take care, guys.
See you later.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, guys, this is the interview wrap-up. Is brought to you by 2020 Geomatics, old Malcolm Cummer Vanstone. Malcolm Vanstone, go see the guys and girls over there. If you're chopping anything up outside of Shirley's scouting salary, you want to call Malcolm, any kind of land, development, whatever you guys got going on, give them a call. Don't be a pigeon. You're going to pull your hair out trying to navigate all the rules and regulations if you try to do it on your own. So call Malcolm. Boys and girls over there, like I say, they'll show up with a sweet rig, will not have their white sunglasses on and their hats backwards. Might have a quad in the back, but they get the job done right. Malcolm Vanstone, 2020 Geomatics.
Hey, let's get into some senior hockey talk this week in our senior hockey soiree. Belt, who's the senior hockey soiree for?
Sport Clips. Regina, Saskatoon, you guys look like you need a... Why are you always laughing at me? You guys look like you need your salads trimmed. You got the burns going there now, Buzz.
I'm actually big high top bald spot belt. I've been doing the old double mirror check.
Monkey bum.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad time in my life. Not gonna lie. Might have to go for the full Buzz right away.
Could you get I wonder if at Sport Clips if they could do like that spray on. They could like spray over the spot, like a spray on cover.
Get hair plugs like old what's his name used to have those billboards.
Fucking just cut it off.
Yeah,
but if you're at that go point, down, just cut it off.
They'll give you the MVP treatment over there. Get the old hot towel on the face and then just get her zipped right bald. The girls could do that for
right
you.
Down to the
and guys, I guess. Yeah. Depends who they got cutting. Yeah. Bick it. Anyway, yeah, no Sport Clips. Go see them. You need your salad trimmed. Get over there and get her cut.
Okay, so senior hockey soiree this week. We had our first games last weekend, guys. Want to give some love, although they didn't give us any love or give us any info. The Twin Rivers Hockey League, they opened up this past weekend. 3 games. Just a quick rundown. Cudworth, get this, the Cudworth team name. I don't think we talked about
Tricky
them at
Maroons?
All on the show. The Tricky Maroons.
Yeah, it's been forever. Love it.
Okay. Yeah. So they beat Warman opening night 3-2 in Warman. Warman came back the next night, lost again, but second game in 5-4 in OT in Clavette. And then on Sunday, little Sunday nooner, Waldheim beat Allen 8-3. So Allen loses 8-3 in their Twin Rivers debut after being in the Lions. So there's a little rundown on what we've had so far. And it's only going to get busier, guys, with the Sask Valley opening up 3 games tomorrow night.
Things are going to get buzzing. You were talking about them not getting, you know who else? I think Barney was talking about this week. You know who else doesn't give us any love? Kyle. Like, just suck it, Kyle. Kyle Saskatchewan, the Elks. They don't give us any love either, do they? They don't even follow us, do they?
I don't. You know what I was going to say? The Qu'Appelle Valley Highway League, they just released their schedule yesterday. And I'm kind of eyeing up some of these games here. That league is going to be really good. Then the other thing I wanted to mention on the senior hockey front, Last Mountain Distillery, we got to give a huge plug, our sponsor, the Player of the Week t-shirts. We're going to post those when we get one that is not straight out of the box and crinkled. We are going to take a nice picture of it. And it
Barry
says,
can't find his ironing board. Put it in the dryer for 15 minutes.
I don't have
wet, with a wet cloth.
I have a dryer that has the wrinkle release thing, but I don't have the shirts, guys. They're out in Beaulieu, Saskatchewan with Call Them a Cloud from.
Hey, Colin, put them in the dryer. Send us a pic.
Talbot McLeod.
Put a $20 gratuity on top for the effort. And,
yeah, but the shirts, they're gray. They're really cool. And they say Senior Hockey Legend. And then it's got the Monday Nooner logo. So Player of the Week. Every week, we're going to be shipping one of those to those guys.
And they got to buy a case of beer, too.
They got to buy. Yeah. One of the teams messaged us today, by the way, another, I think it was Oxbow. They want to get in on the GW deal. So that's as simple as it is. If your team's looking for a beer deal this year, just shoot us a DM. We'll get you hooked up with Hubsy.
That rule is just as backwards as golfing hole in one. When you get a hole in one, you got to buy everybody a drink.
Right.
It makes no sense. Everybody should buy you a drink. Just like the player of the week. You win player of the week, they should buy you the 016s. Not you have to buy, but just one of those ass backwards rules.
Like who is the poor guy again in Foam Lake that just got lit up about that?
Boyer.
He's still getting lit up.
Yeah.
Boyer, yeah.
Don't be a boy.
And West Last Mountain, are we doing some booze too from Last Mountain for the player of the week?
No,
just
you
the
buy,
just
yeah.
the tarp.
You go and buy booze there.
And you got to buy the booze. You got to buy a bottle of Last Mountain and a case of beer for the boys. You got to mix them. We want a picture.
Download the preseason show and our first top 10, and we're going to have it every week. And yeah. That's how we're going to buzz. Hey, while we're talking about senior hockey here, what's that?
I was just going to jump into that player of the week because this is going to be the first weekend that we're keeping track. Of course, this past weekend, I mentioned there was some games. This guy isn't a winner, but wanted to give some love to Nate Daku out in Waldheim. He had a 3-point night in their season opener in the Twin Rivers. But as of next week, our first player of the week we announce, that's going to be for Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers as well. I wanted to give them a plug. Auction season really busy and auction price is really strong right now. So
isn't the Regina auction?
.com.
When's the Regina auction?
November 18th and 19th. A couple weeks coming up real quick. So
right on. Hey, speaking of senior hockey, here's our guy. He's always joining us. And yeah, provincials announced. This is exciting. Let's get into a little Kelly McClintock from Sask Hockey here.
Why wouldn't a guy? Or why wouldn't a girl?
Senior hockey is a buzz. Kelly McClintock, nice enough to join us this evening. So, Kelly, I guess we're recording this here on Tuesday night. Yesterday, everybody was DMing us. It was like the hot topic. It's like it sounds like provincials are a go. What can you tell us when it comes to senior hockey and I guess everything?
Yeah, absolutely. Seniors is provincials are definitely a go, and provincials will be in all categories. So, absolutely. I think the only thing we'll probably look at is, you know, you're going to have to, everyone will have to be vaccinated in senior provincials, you know, for sure. But other than that, it's all good to go.
Is there anything that happened that changed things, Kelly? Like, I know we talked to guys and people within leagues and stuff who had been saying for a while that they didn't think provincials would happen. Was there any rules that changed or anything on your end that changed this for the better?
No, not at all. I don't know where those guys are talking or listening to, but they weren't talking to us because we've been saying we're hosting provincials all along. So, you know, the decision would be about the vaccination aspect. So no one has to wear face masks. So other than that, we're good to go.
I'm guessing the rumors might have came from the Monday Nooner guys talking about the Tournament of Champions they were set to unveil if provincials weren't to go.
You know, that's something that I proposed to all the leagues probably 8-9 years ago. And you know, to have something at the end of the year to have all the league champions play. Well, you can imagine what the comments were. Well, who's going to pay all the guys? How are we going to raise money? All that kind of stuff. And you know, I said, well, wouldn't the guys want to just play for nothing? And it was just silence afterwards on that. So it never went anywhere.
we had the balls rolling. We covered the whole cash flow thing. And we thought we had a pretty good little system. But no, provincials is great. And that's kind of what everybody wants to play for and win a banner. You know what's funny, Kelly? When we kind of did our preview show, we recorded it last week, dropped it this week. And we started going through even in this pandemic world that we're kind of living in, how many senior leagues and teams there still is in Saskatchewan. Like, it's mind blowing.
Yeah. It's more combined than the rest of the country together. So, you know, I think it really is a testament of small town hockey in Saskatchewan, and that small towns that want to keep rinks going and, you know, senior hockey keeps those communities alive. And, you know, I loved it when I played, and playing in small towns and provincials was awesome. And, you know, I would never want to trade that experience ever of playing in it.
Are you, have you been talking and are you talking to a lot of senior teams and leagues as the days go on here and leagues get ready to fire up? Are some of them kind of coming daily with questions, or do you feel like everybody's on a comfortable level here and they're ready to go?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think we have 11 leagues, 10 of them for sure have adopted the mandatory vaccination policies. You know, I believe there'll be some, you know, some teams that won't go, like, you know, we won't be up to the capacity of maybe what we were 2 years ago, but at least they'll be going. You get the odd phone call from a team saying, well, you know, I got a guy who's not vaccinated. No, tell him to get vaccinated, right? And, you know, and then it's like, well, he won't be ready till the middle of December. Okay, then you're going to play a little short. Well, we can't do that. I'm going, man, you know, I played with 9-10 guys in senior hockey before. If you got the right 9 or 10 guys, you're good. Well, he's our best player. Well, find some other guys, right? You know, like, there's always that type of exchange, or, you know, a few emails from fellas saying, well, I don't want to be vaccinated. Okay, then that's your choice, and it's okay. I'm not putting you down, but you just won't be able to play senior hockey. So other than that, you know, the leagues have been really good. I don't want to get into guys providing tests, for example. It's all got to be mandatory vaccinations, because I don't want volunteers put in the middle of an argument trying to get into a rink or something. So we've made that choice. I think it's a good choice strictly because of the volunteer aspect.
Speaking of that, Kelly, is you going to put the onus, I guess, onto the teams to keep track of that stuff, the vax part of it?
Yeah, we'll make the teams be required. And if I hear something, then I'll just say you've got to upload the documents to a secure site that we have. And if you don't, well, then the guys don't play. It's as simple as that, right? So,
and all provincial rules when it comes to senior are going to be like they were 2 years ago. There's no real changing as far as, you know, teams joining or anything like that.
No, they can pick up players, et cetera, as long as they're vaccinated. I'm good. You know, there might be the one league is the Sask Prairie League that I haven't heard from, that whether they have the vaccination. So that's that, you know, I'm going to say
Battleford,
Battleford, you know, that though that area there. So I'm not sure what they're doing. But, you know, other than that, those kids could still play if they're vaccinated. I'm okay with that.
And then I guess as far as every other level, like when we're looking at hockey as a whole, you think you're going to see the numbers relatively the same as you did in 2019?
You know, I think we will, you know, for the most part. There might be some fear, or, you know, I'm not sure what our board will, maybe we meet in the next week, what they want to do for minor hockey in terms of mandatory vaccination, just because of the amount of travel that's involved, and, you know, just to provide alleviate some fear of people. But, you know, certainly when you see a lot of the tournaments and things that are going on, you're not, we're not hearing any type of outbreaks as a result of hockey. So, you know, I'm really proud, like I was last year, of minor hockey and the good job they're doing. So, you know, I think it'll be fine. We put out a call for officials to start coming back, because some officials didn't want to wear masks, but now, you know, if they're fully vaccinated, you know, in a senior league, they certainly don't have to wear a mask on the ice. And if they're fully vaccinated, they don't have to wear a mask in minor hockey as well. So that's a positive thing. So I think we'll see some more officials hopefully registering and getting back, because that's a key thing. We can have all the games we want, but if we don't have officials, we're going to be in trouble. Shane?
Starting today, do coaches and that have to wear masks on the ice, because everybody has to be vaccinated to get in the ring?
Yeah, no, that's something we'll be coming out with tomorrow, that that coaches who are fully vaccinated coaching minor hockey don't have to wear a mask while they're on the ice in practice. They still have to on the bench, because they're deemed no different than if you're in the stands. But on the ice, we've gotten that approval from the government.
Well, this is exciting times, Kelly, eh? Like where we talked to last year and then to this year, I think things are exciting. You guys must be excited around the office, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, especially with, you know, with our own programming and SAS First, and, you know, we have our under 18 team in Manitoba. You know, they started today and had a bit of a rough outing, but, you know, those are the kinds of things that, you know, get our staff excited, and, you know, our new website and our app and all that kind of thing. You know, hopefully we'll have a better way to promote scores, et cetera, through our app for provincials. So hopefully that gets all smoothed out here in the next month and a half or so.
We actually had a new follower from Pakistan, so we're thinking we'll be touching base with you, Kelly, and we'll be setting up the Senior Hockey World Championship sponsored.
There we go.
Sooner, possibly next year.
Well, my one of my younger brothers is a cop in Brisbane, Australia, and he always he played for the Brisbane Blue Tongues in the Australian League, and now he goes to New Zealand and plays in some World Rec Championship or something. He's always boasting about how many world championships he has.
See, it's all starting to come together, Kelly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man.
Hey, thanks so much again for joining us. Yeah, you're always a beauty. Thanks, Kelly.
Next time, hopefully it's bigger.
Yeah, that's a great looking beard. Yeah, right on.
Take care, guys.
See you later, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly. Bye,
bye. Boz, you know what? Let's get into my tirade this week. I gotta juice it up a little bit better than Babs did last week. You didn't get too fired up. Brought to you by High Tech Profiles. What do you got on them? I know you love reading this one.
Yeah, great guys over there. Trent Myers, kind of the guy who runs the show,
the kingpin,
and a lot of his partners are former senior hockey players. What did you say? Sorry,
I said he's the kingpin.
The kingpin of high tech. Yep.
Big dog.
Trent Myers. So they're locally owned guys. They're all former senior hockey players. They've been in business for, 25 and a half, 26 years in Regina, new location in Saskatoon, steel processing and tube laser and all these things that they do. Any metal needs you have, whether you're Western Canada or the Northern U.S., give HiTech a call or look them up online, hitechprofiles.com.
And Trent's son is a little goalie. He's supposed to be a little weapon, hey, isn't he?
He's really good.
Keep an eye out for that kid. Yeah, he's really good.
He was doing a thing.
Keep an eye out for that kid.
He was doing a thing in October, I think, donating money to charity for all the saves he made. I was looking. It was like 44 shots, 42 saves, whatever. Anyway, shout out to him.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Absolute weapon. Hey, boys, my tirade this week. I got a tirade like Gary Bettman. Like, fuck, what a pigeon. That piece of shit should be stepping down from his position in the NHL with the handling over this beach thing. Like, what a – just a fucking maroon. Like, he – even did you hear about that press conference the other day, how they didn't let Westland talk? Like, Cervelli had a big tweet on that yesterday or today. He's just an absolute joke. The dude's a super mega pigeon, and he should be stepping down for his handling of this. And that's all I got for my tirade, but that guy's a piece of shit.
There it is. Short and sweet. Gary Bettman, if you're listening, Shane Belter thinks you're a piece of shit. I don't think he'll step down.
Let's go. You don't think he will?
No.
No.
Public pressure, you don't think he's going to? I think the owners are happy enough?
Well, yeah, exactly. The owners are really happy.
Yeah, I know.
They'll be like, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Thanks, Trent.
If people ask you if you want to go do something in life, just say, why wouldn't a guy? Or why wouldn't a girl?
All right, boys, why don't we get into take a seat on the rusty shovel, Sean Steffen. Boy's an absolute weapon. Hey, I heard for a couple of weeks, we get some snow, it's a great time to book some landscaping design with them. They can plan this winter and get you all ready for the spring. First thing, you can get buzzing. So you don't have to miss any bikini time with mama on the pond. And they're also going to have a booth at the Agribition this year, guys. Sean told me that. So they're going to promote their new compact track equipment. So for rural folks coming to Agribition, stop by to the Rusty Shovel booth and say hi to that weapon. Boys, I'm going to start. I got a funny one, actually. So a good buddy of mine lives out in, I should actually give him a little bit of a shout out, old Terry Magel. Buddy of mine I fish with and stuff. Not the most athletic guy, like sucking back the darts. Anyway, the other day he's out for a walk with his dog. This is an anomaly for him. Like, I don't think he walks a lot. Lost the rock, paper, scissors to his daughter's. Got to take the dog for a walk. Middle of the day, beautiful day, you know, plus 10, sun's out, walking the dog on the opposite side of the road into traffic, right? Mr. Safety, safety first. Whammo! Gets hit from behind. Some dude's going like 60, breaks his leg, takes out this dude's windshield, rolls himself into the ditch. The guy stops, rolls his window down, and he's like, are you okay? You need anything? Terry's like, well, you call me an ambulance. The guy's like, sorry, I don't have my phone, and drives away. The cops found him 2 hours later with the canine unit in the bush. Take a seat, you freaking pigeon. Oh, true story. Unreal. Out at Regina Beach.
Wow.
Yeah.
The canine unit buzzing. Found who?
Why was the Pats mascot out at Regina Beach?
Just out buzzing. Yeah, that's where they found him. They went down, the car was at the house, couldn't find him, and they had to unleash the canines, and they found him hiding in I guess when they found him, the cop said he was pretty, I don't know if he was pinned up or if he was on something, but yeah, he wasn't in his right frame of mind.
All right, my take a seat, son, quickly. Sorry, there's one in this group. Oiler fans, oh my God, it's like 10 games into the season and we already have to hear how unbelievable this two-man show is and how they're going all the way. And it's like, please.
I actually haven't seen anybody say that myself.
Oh, I got guys. It's like, yeah, no.
Running the parade.
You guys are not winning the Stanley Cup.
They're not nearly as bad as Leaf fans.
I think
Leaf fans are either here or here.
I think a lot of Leaf fans I know are like resigned to the fact that it's over.
See, I'm a Calgary fan, so we're just like going like this right now, eyes wide open, going, we don't want to say anything because we know that the train's coming off the tracks, right? So we just keep our mouths shut.
Yeah, Oiler fans, just enjoy it. It'll be fun. They'll get lots of points again. The two guys, they're so good. They'll get lots of points. And then the playoffs will come, and it's just like any hockey from Adam to the NHL. If you have two really good players, just shut down those two players. And your goaltending stinks, by the way. Like, your one guy's like 47.
I don't know. When you're hoping that Mike Smith is like okay.
Couldn't make Wadena.
And then he gets hurt.
They have five goalies, Wadena.
Yeah, Wadena has five goalies.
I think weapons.
A part of me just thinks that they did that to rub it in the face of Craig, who might have zero.
Want to borrow a goalie?
Yeah.
Just leverage, right? This would be a fifth string goalie.
Signed them all. They just signed everybody possible.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, I'll tell myself to take a seat. I meant to mention this in the senior hockey segment a little bit earlier on in the show. You guys haven't heard it yet, but I actually edited it out of the senior show when I said that Selby fold. And then I looked back and they were number two last year. So I'd like to tell myself to take a seat for thinking that Selby fold. And I've been hearing a lot of backlash about how do you have them number two last year to thinking that they fold to not even having them ranked. So I've been hearing it hard from the Selby players and fans. So
I'll earn it.
All right, take a seat. Thank you very much, Sean, Steph, and everyone at the Rusty Shovel. Give them a shout for all your landscaping needs in southern Saskatchewan. Hey, Boz, what's going on at Mainline? They're still giving away that bike, or they gave away the bike, and it's just now it's – is it truck?
Yeah, month? That electric
– I want to know who won it.
Nine-speed? No, it's not till December. You still got lots of time to buy a new or used vehicle. And any purchase, new or used – or a set of winter tires, if you can get them for your whip here before the snow flies. Going to be entered to win an LB S1 9-speed electric bike. It's a $3,600 unit, so be a nice little giveaway here before Christmas. And then over at the Chrysler store, they are giving away $1,000 gas cards to co-op for any new vehicle custom order from Mainline Chrysler. So if it's time to upgrade the whip, get $1,000 in fuel from the co-op, and you can find out all the info from both dealership at rosetownmainline.net or mainlinechrysler.ca. I got over 120 vehicles there, guys, in inventory. So
right on.
I know a lot of places are short, but Rosetown's got you looked after.
And we're only a couple weeks away. GB Construction, our official gear provider, only a couple weeks away. I think we should have the Tooks come in. And we're talking like we barely have any. We got to, like I said on the last show, not to be redundant, but we got to figure out a way how we're going to.
Have you put a teaser out yet what they look like? Are you holding that close to your windbreaker?
I'm holding it. Yeah. close to the old breaker. The polyester. Fuck, that was funny. Yeah, thanks GB and everything they got going on there. So.
Yeah, guys, I think that'll do it for this week. It was a busy week, two shows. Hope everybody enjoyed this show. Hope you enjoyed our senior season preview show. And going forward, every Wednesday, we'll have that new top 10. So look forward to, I guess, kind of sort of two shows a week here going forward for the next several months.
And I've had two requests for this, to take people back nostalgic-wise on the deep cut on the way out. So, Boz, I'll let you hit play. And everybody that was born in 1970 or maybe even 80, you remember this
There's
one.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me down the road. That's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you want to join me for a while, just grab your hat, we'll travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on.